Welcome to RIP, Jordan Jensen. I do have a guest coming in. The guest is Nick Viegas. He's a very funny, young, upcoming comedian. Little weirdo, little weird freak. Actually, he's huge. He's giant. He's the tallest man alive. Really, really funny. He's going to join us in a second. I don't know how I choose people to come on. I think if I just end up, if I catch a good vibe off them, I ask them to come in. Or if we get in like an intense conversation and I'm like, I want to talk more about this, that's who I have come in. And some of you only watch the heavy hitters, and that's a mistake because some of these people have good shit to say. Because a lot of times, here's the deal. Comedians want to kill themselves. We just want to die all the time. I don't know why it is, and some of them don't, and they're not funny, but some of them don't. I should admit that. Or maybe some of them have a kid and then they realize they want to live, or maybe they get a little chibi puppy coyote and that keeps them going for a while longer. But for the most part, the way that you start doing comedy is you have existential meltdowns relentlessly. So I do want to have more like psychology-based people, yada yada, but there is something nice about comedians because not only do they know how to keep a conversation going, but they usually have a super overactive brain, which is interesting to me. So that's why I'm having all these people on that you don't know. And I also just don't feel comfortable asking big dogs to do the podcast because it's not there yet. It's not getting the amount of views that helps them. I also just like some of the people that I have on have already done B&E in and I know them. And then some of the people I have on are people I want to like get to know more. So that's why I do that. And there is nothing worse about asking somebody to do your podcast. It's brutal. And when you ask these kids, they're really smart. They're up and coming and they're very happy to do it. And they're really good conversationalists and they're young and they have ideas and they're thinking. And I like that. What's going on with me is I was sick for like a full month. I got COVID and then I got recorded the special and then I got the flu and then I got a cold, which I'm still recovering from. And I had like basically a nervous breakdown where I was like, I can't live like this. So I switched up my entire diet to not have any sugar or any starches. And I feel a lot better. I can talk about this on a solo pod, but obviously food is very difficult for me. And if I can do something, I overdo it. And the food addiction thing has always been a problem. So my body is the only thing that can tell me when I've gone too far, which it did. And it was like, dude, you can't survive off of the gummy bears that are in the shape of Shaquille O'Neal's head, despite how big they are. I mean, they're the biggest gummy bears you've ever seen. And the other thing is I'm the candy girl. So people just give me candy. When I'm at the cellar, servers come and bring me candy. When I'm headlining, hosts will bring a bag of candy and be like, I know you love candy. So that's the other thing. You are what you eat, and I am Swedish fish. So yeah, I'm trying to get better. I'm going to take 2 weeks off, and I'm going to go upstate. I'll probably record episodes with my family for sure. But I'm going to go in my house and hide and be alone. And this is my first time taking that amount of time off. I'm very scared that I'm going to come back and go, and they'll be like, what happened to her? And I'll be like, these are worth. But hopefully that doesn't happen. And if it does, so be it, because I am dying and I need real time off. I've been having a lot of fun doing new jokes, which is great. I feel like today's the last day before I go home, and I could not feel like it's like a can't. I'm like the candle stem is drowning in wax, and I'm so excited to just rest. I did do a thing that I shouldn't have done, though. I made plans. Like, I was like, you can come to where I have a house, stay with me, da da da. And I shouldn't have done that, and I do regret that. But I think I gave myself enough time to get some adequate rest without visitors. But that is a tricky love addict thing that I do, where I go, I'm going to take time off. You want to come? And that's not the best. So that's what's going on. What else has been happening? Going through epic amounts of relationship shit, which is very hard. Dissociating hardcore because of it, for sure. You know what's difficult I'm finding is, you know how like you have this like, oh, he's here. You know how you have this perspective in your head that you can be this like ball of light, this like enlightened thing running through the forest, and then the second an obstacle arises, you all of a sudden become the most rageful goat of all time. And you think that if you just like fully embrace some Buddhist culture, you would just be able to let it flow through you. I realize that I blame all of the obstacles for that sensation. Every obstacle that comes up, I'm like, how come you're fucking up my vibe? And I realize that I have the most penetrable vibe of all time. And that's something I need to change. And I'm going to focus on it. I'm trying to deal with not letting things fuck up my flow. And that's very hard. Like, almost like, if I'm not able to create boundaries for myself, I need when the boundaries slap up against me for me to separate my atoms so they just flow right through it. And that is hard to do. But Neo is able to do it in the Matrix, so. Oh, I didn't even know that I wrote fucker. I wrote come in fucker. I don't know why I said that. But Neo can do it, so I'm trying to do it. That's what I'm trying to do. You can't stop the bullets, but you can move them. That's what I want to do. You can't stop the guy from shooting the bullets, but you can say there is no spoon. There is no spoon. There is no spoon. That's what I have to remember. Every fucking thing that comes up and makes me feel weird or bad or it's just not real. I mean, it is real, but in the grand scheme of things, it's not disrupting the root system that I have in place. You know what I mean? I'm a whole person. I'm a whole person, and it comes in, and they come at me, and I just gotta go, no, dude, my roots run too deep. I am who I am, and I'm gonna be okay, despite this stupid bullet. That's why trees are so cool. God, when you see a metal fence up against a tree, and the tree just goes, fuck you, you're a part of me now, bitch. God, that's awesome. It never stops it from growing. Unless it gets chopped down. In which case, I don't even think it cares. I think it's okay with it. It just goes back into the earth. But that's what I'm trying to do. Acceptance. Acceptance of things that come at me. And not developing a force field. Here he is. Come on in. Sit down.
You've been sitting here for 40 minutes?
No. I was late. I was super late. I just did a little intro.
Sweet.
Yeah. I introduced
you. Did you say nice stuff about me?
No, I wasn't talking about you. I was just talking to them about my life.
Makes sense.
I was talking about how, like, I want to have, like, you know how therapists and everything is like you have to set boundaries so that nothing harms you or gets in your way?
Sure.
And I'm like, well, that's physically impossible. So this goddamn, there, I really did it.
Yeah.
So I really want to set up I really want to be able to, as things slap up against me, be able to handle it. Because the boundary thing that people talk about, it's, you're like in creating a fortress. Eventually, yes. Something's getting in.
I run into this a lot with my mom, too.
Yes.
Like, because it can make you into kind of a narcissist, also.
If yes.
You're like, no one can transgress the boundaries that I made up for myself.
Yes.
That not everybody knows.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's based on my emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't work. They can make you more fragile, but they can also, I don't know. There's like a midway that you have to find.
There's a midway. There is a midway. But also a big part of me, when people say boundaries, it almost feels like a slight against me because I'm like, my entire life has been built upon having no boundaries. That's why I've made it in comedy.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's why I'm doing okay.
Uh-huh.
Is because I have canceled entire trips to Mexico that I needed in order to do gigs. I have like gone on the road with people that are scary. I have slept in Booker's house while they stood over me, and
yes.
I've had no boundaries. Like, I've just like, it's so when people are like, you have to have boundaries, I'm like, I got that, but also it's like when you tell an alcoholic to quit drinking when they crush every time they're drunk on stage. You're like, also, I'm really sorry. It might mean your career if you said that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's an issue. Nick Viegas. Is that what I'm saying, right?
Viegas.
Viegas.
Yeah, I'm going to put my phone on. Don't disturb.
You can take calls. You can do whatever you
I
want
would
here.
Love that.
We got
Thank
the
you.
Good room.
Oh, yeah? Are there this other is, rooms?
The other rooms were like sitting up and facing each other, and it's really weird. This is the best.
Cool.
We're very lucky.
Do we look here or do I look at you?
I don't know. It's hard because there's a camera thing.
I'll figure it out.
I think you look at me.
Okay.
How's you can going? Look at the camera if you want to talk to them. Or you can look at me if you want to talk to me.
When I'm plugging, I'll look in the camera.
Okay, great. Yeah. You're going to plug? This doesn't get a lot of views. You know
that? That's fine.
Okay, great. What's going on? What's your deal?
Not much. What do you want to know?
I want to know what's going on with comedy right now. Where are you at?
What's going on with comedy? I'm still opening for Racine sometimes.
Crazy.
Super crazy. Insane.
Mike Racine. Good friend of the pod.
Right. Yeah, so that's like $1,500 a year.
That's great. That's great. Are you working clubs?
Yeah, I'm working clubs. So, yeah, I just got in at New York, so I've been doing that a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm dating a comic, which I've never done before.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Who's that?
Olivia Carter. Do you know her? She's 6 feet tall, blonde from Chicago.
Olivia, you guys are tall boys,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, we're both tall. I put into ChatGPT our heights, and they said there's only 500 couples in America that are taller than us. We're like the woman and the man are.
I don't know this girl. How old is she?
28, I think, as of
Oh, yeah. I just yesterday. Saw her the other day at the Cellar outside.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
She is beautiful.
And funny, I bet. No, she looks weird enough to be funny.
Yes, totally.
You know what I mean? Is she one of these girls that's ripping me off? I've heard about a lot of them.
Like who?
I don't know. People just tell me girls are ripping me off and being the cool neurotic chick.
I have no comment.
Okay. I'll find out myself.
Sounds good.
Everybody's been telling me that. Everybody's being like, people are doing a Jordan, which is the most flattering thing that could ever happen.
You want to know something crazy? You know what? Assad, right? Assad Benbo?
No.
He's like at the stand. He was on tires. He's like,
oh, okay. Yes.
Yeah. People are imitating him now.
Really?
Yes. He has sons in the scene.
Whoa.
There's people who are like doing like neurotic alt black kid stuff.
I'm going to have to ask you not to stutter for the rest of the podcast.
That's going to be a little hard for me. I'm sorry.
What if I said that? What if I said don't? Could you?
No, absolutely not. People hate it too when I stutter on podcasts. It's like really? A sound that's very specifically annoying to hear in a microphone.
Because it's like ASMR?
Yeah.
How long have you gone without a stutter? Sleeping?
Sleeping. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I talk in my sleep.
Do you?
Yeah.
What do you say?
I say all kinds of weird stuff. Like, a lot of the time I make like guttural moans.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you traumatized? You were molested or something?
I wasn't molested, no. Like, my mom is an alcoholic, but there wasn't like one event.
But the stutter
is really
just a genetic thing?
Yeah. It's like happened since I was a kid.
Did anybody else in your family have it?
Yeah. My great uncle had it, and I met this guy who's like my second cousin or something in Spain, and he stuttered.
It's like synapses or something?
Yeah, so it's like the two parts of the brain not speaking to each other. That's like why my eyes roll back in my head sometimes when I do it.
Can you shoot a line through there or something? Can they do something?
Like a wire?
Yeah, can
them?
They put a wire? Can they hook it up?
The only thing that I've heard that works, they have these things. Have you ever seen the King's Speech?
Yeah.
The movie? You know how like he can't hear himself and then he doesn't stutter?
Oh.
Yeah. So there's this thing called a speakeasy. It's like $5,000. I haven't researched this in a long time. Maybe it's way cheaper now. But it's like this device that you wear in your ear that plays the sound of your voice back to you a half second later than when you say it. And that's supposed to help you with a stutter.
Well, what if you're wearing headphones?
I don't think they thought of that.
But what if you wear headphones right now?
Well, I would look like retarded if I did that. So.
Yeah, I know, but would you not stutter?
Yeah, probably.
Really?
I think so. Do you have headphones? We can try it.
No, can you plug them?
Sure.
Okay, go ahead, talk.
I can still sort of hear myself when I talk. All right, no, I think this
you
is
can't.
Good. I think this will work.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, no, see, it didn't work.
Yeah. What about, but it doesn't, but you're just so used to it.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother you.
Yeah, I mean, it's happened like since I could talk. Like ever since I was a child, I stuttered.
And it's so cute to imagine a child with it.
But it was really bad too. It used to be much worse.
Really?
Yeah. So like I was really hard for me to talk.
It would take forever for you to say it?
Yes. And I would hit like really bad ones and I would hate reading in class. And
of course.
I just felt like a weirdo. Yeah. They thought I was autistic because if you have a language delay, then that's like one of the early symptoms of autism.
I think kids are autistic when they don't talk like in fluent Japanese. I'm like, this kid doesn't know what fucking sycophantic means. He's autistic. I think they just diagnose kids with autism willy-nilly if they're just like a little bit.
The thing is that I kind of like buy it a lot. When I meet someone who says they're autistic,
Yeah.
Because a lot of the time they are like interpersonally weird, but it's because of the internet. It's not like in the 60s when it was like a really real thing. Like my uncle got diagnosed with autism in the 60s. So he's like fucked up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He like for sure has it. But like, you know, Ivy, my friend I run the show with.
Yes.
So she like she got diagnosed with autism and she's
Ivy's in Enora.
Ivy is in Enora. She's an English teacher.
I had to flip out at her at that show.
Why?
I just remember she was doing her whole thing, her whole like crazy, like being like, and I just had to be like, you need to stop. You're freaking me out.
You know what I mean? Like, that's weird how she interacts. That's how she interacts with people. And it's really strange.
Yeah, but it's so played up.
Yeah, you think?
This is my whole thing about autism is like, I went and trained at this one boxing place and they trained Bob Dylan. And the woman was like, who trained him was like, he is autistic. That is the thing that people don't get. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, that makes so much sense. But like at the time, he just like adapted and was an artist and laid low. Whereas now it's so exaggerated in autistic people where they play it up so hard that sometimes I'm like, I get it. You are autistic. I totally get it. And this is a bit of a character.
And yeah, I mean, I definitely know people where it's like, oh, I put my shoes on the wrong feet. And then like post about it. It's like, I don't think that's autism.
Oh God, yeah. I mean,
do you know who I'm talking about?
No.
Okay, he's a comic, but yeah.
Who's really autistic? He's pseudo autistic.
Yeah, I mean, he's weird and like sort of mean.
Oh, I don't know.
He writes for roasts.
Dan Wicks?
No, I mean him. I don't know.
Yeah, that's an autistic person.
Mike Lawrence.
Mike Lawrence is autistic?
Yeah.
Oh.
He posts about it a lot.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
They all post about it. A bunch of them post about it.
I dare you, if you're autistic, to not post about it. Then I'll believe you.
Then I'll believe you. I dare you to not even do stand-up because you're too autistic to get on stage. Dude, I have so many audience members tell me I'm autistic because I like touching things and feel. And I'm like, I'm not. I'm just very immature.
Right. And you can be weird. You're allowed to be strange.
You're allowed to just be strange. I mean, but I also think that autism is rampant. Like, mm-hmm. I do think it is, like, everywhere. And I think it just didn't... I'm sure Oppenheimer was fucking autistic. Right. I'm sure Einstein was autistic. I'm sure that all these people... Nietzsche was for sure autistic. Mm-hmm. I mean, he could not talk to women. And he was weird as fuck.
But I think growing up on the internet makes you mimic symptoms of autism. Where it's like, you get... you know, you're interacting with things that make you, like, addicted to these, like, knowledge... wormholes.
Yeah.
You don't make eye contact that much because you're always looking at a screen.
Yeah.
You learn language not from your mom, which is how people learned it in past generations. You learn it from like a screen. So you're weird. You're not like how humans were supposed to be.
Yeah.
And then it looks like autism. And maybe it is or maybe it isn't. I don't know. It looks like high functioning autism.
Yeah. Like, here's the deal. I have one of the most gregarious uncles in the world. Like, he's so funny. He's so with it. He's like a lady killer kind of guy. Uh-huh. And his son, my cousin, is super autistic. And it's like, they're aliens. He's like, Joey's like a bro. Uh-huh. And Nikki will be like, what are you doing with that BB gun? Like, he's very autistic. Yeah. And like, that's autism to me.
Right.
Like, when something happened where you're so far... from your family. Like if your family raises you autistic and you end up autistic, that's not autism.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I also don't think autism is like, I have a hard time relating to others. I think that that's like a problem that you should fucking deal with and relate to others better.
Yes, I agree with that.
You know what I mean? Like, and there's people who are just low on empathy. There's people who meet my dog and could give a fuck when she curls up on their lap. And I'm like, okay,
right.
You just were raised in a pretty empathetic way.
And like, if you're hot, like, are you autistic? Do you know what I mean?
Well, there's that one guy on Love on the Spectrum who's pretty attractive.
Is he hot? I don't
know. He's not hot, but if he was not autistic, he would be like an attractive guy.
Right.
But he's so autistic.
I think about like hot women.
I know. Well, hot women, I just figured out. I met a woman at the park. This is a perfect example. Who was so fucking autistic and so hot.
Mm-hmm.
And she would like throw the stick and be like, that's a good boy. Good job getting the stick. And I was like, oh my God.
You're like horny?
Yes. Yeah. 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 It was so weird. Good job getting the stick. That's very good. And would like pat her dog like too hard on the head. And I was like, okay, this is somebody who's masking well, who's an autistic person. And their parents are probably have helped them get to a social level.
Sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's sort of hot when women are like slightly autistic.
It is, because they have a linear brain, which is not what we have.
Right.
We have a chaotic brain that's full of nonsense at all times.
Right. I love when a woman's a man, kind of.
It's true.
Yeah.
You know what? There's a fucking thing that they made that was like, it's this brain blaster that kids were using to like do well in school.
Okay.
And it would blast their brain somehow. I do not know. Hmm. And they were just all of a sudden ace everything. Like say I.
What do you mean a brain blaster?
I don't know.
Like a gun or a pill?
Like a machine that they would make that would zap a part of their brain.
Okay. Yeah.
A zapper.
Sure.
And say I had you do like a really complicated maze and you got it. You'd always be able to get it again with the brain blaster, because once you know something, you have it.
Right.
And I feel like that's more how men are than women. Like women are hit with self-doubt every step of the way. And sometimes you get men that are too, and they're more sympathetic.
Mm-hmm.
But that self-doubt thing, that like, that is what I wish I didn't have, where it's every moment is like, you're stupid, you're dumb, why are you doing that?
You on SSRIs?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which ones?
Prozac.
Okay. Yeah, I'm on Prozac and Will... Butrin.
Dude, how are you on Wellbutrin? Everybody's on Wellbutrin. When I'm on Wellbutrin, see that wall?
Uh-huh.
When I'm on Wellbutrin, that shit would give me a full panic attack.
Why?
Look at it. Look at the pattern.
Oh, like the little dots thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wellbutrin was like...
You're
was...
high energy. I'm kind of a low energy guy. I need more of that in my life.
I'm sleepy.
Yeah?
I'm a sleepy girl.
That's because you're so energetic all the time. You're always running around and doubting yourself and stuff.
Yes. Even in my sleep, I'm not moaning. I'm going, you suck. You suck so bad. That is true. But when I took Wellbutrin, it felt like I was... Were you manic the first week or anything?
No, not at all.
You were like, this is sick.
Yeah, because I'm depressed.
You're a depressed
so
guy.
So it felt...
Do you ever get manic?
Not really. I mean, sometimes when I had COVID, I was so bored that I got into, like really into the Iraq war. And I like read everything about it. But I'm never like, I don't spend too much money or
buy stuff like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll just come home, there's so many boxes, and I'm like, fuck, manic Jordan, really. Or that's depressed Jordan. Depressed Jordan does buy things. No, it's manic Jordan. Depressed Jordan doesn't do shit.
Are you an addict? Are you
an I'm an addict, and I have bipolar.
Okay, cool. So you actually have mania.
And crippling OCD. Sure. Yeah, my mania is the best. Uh-huh. My mania rules. My mania is like, the things I buy are good. I mean, that's not true. I have to throw away 2 pairs of shoes. But three, actually. But... that are brand new. I can't take them back. I'm too scared. But my mania is very much like, that's why I have a problem with bipolar, because sometimes I think mania is a way of your body avoiding death.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that if you have undergone so much PTSD as a child, you get in these manic episodes to be like, if everything is so dark, you have to fucking, have to all of a sudden make that dark color into like, you're like, oh my God, it's so dark that actually... It's light, and it gives you this feeling of like...
I'm actually a hero.
I'm immortal. Like, I feel like if you didn't get that, like, I don't know. Like, I have friends that run super anxious, and then friends like you who run super depressed. And for me, I'm like, if I had one or the other all the time, I wouldn't be around.
Right.
Like, the vacillation is what's so crucial.
I can get normal, but I'm never, like, super energetic. No.
It's not energetic. It's like... what did somebody describe it as the other day? Delusionally hopeful.
Okay.
It's where you're like, everything is good, everything is fine. It's and I'll get bursts of mania. Like, I saw this on the ground today, this bird it was a dead bird.
Uh-huh.
And its eye.
You send photos to somebody?
Had slid into its mouth.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But I got manic about that.
That looks like an omen.
I was like, this is a sign. It's an omen. It's really important. Like, that will trigger my mania a little bit. And I'll be like, this is everything is good. Everything is bad.
Are you one or two? Bipolar.
Two. I switched.
Okay.
Wait, one is the worst one.
Well, yeah. One is the one with mania. And then two is hypomania and hypersexual. Mainly depression.
One. I'm one. Yeah,
that sounds...
I had three. I was three.
I don't know about three.
Three was like the really bad one.
Okay, what's but that? Then,
I don't know.
Cool.
Let me see. What is... I had a therapist. Let's look it up.
But also, if you have OCD, you can become manic within... Or no, that's not a personality disorder. Never mind.
Bipolar 3?
I don't know about 3. Oh. Is that like anger or something?
Bipolar 2. Mental health disorder occur distinct periods of hypermania and major depressive episodes. Yeah. Unlike bipolar 1, it does involve full manic episodes. It does not involve full manic episodes.
Yeah, hypomania, so you're never like, oh, okay, I'm so literally Jesus Christ.
I went from 1 to 2.
Yes, okay.
No, I'm never like I'm Jesus Christ.
Never psychotic.
No, never psychotic. It's more like random extreme days where I'm like, I don't have to clean my house. Everything can get super messy. Who even cares? This is who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Quitting things, taking up new things, mm-hmm. being like all in on this one thing. Like I got manic the other day and bought like everything there is to know about like, Robert Maxwell, who's like Epstein related, and I was like studying the
Ghislaine's dad.
Yeah, Ghislaine's dad and the Mossad, and was like, I'm gonna get to the bottom of it. That was actually last week, and I was like, I'm gonna get to the bottom of this, and now I'm just like, no, I'm gonna read Girl with a Dragon Tattoo because I'm leveled out again.
Sure.
Yeah. But yeah, the mania usually happens when it just happens at the bottom of after the pit. I hit the pit, and then I'm like, here it comes, and then it gets hit with it.
Do you want to use when you're manic?
No, that's when I'm depressed.
Okay, got it.
I do use sex and love addiction when I'm manic, but when I'm depressed, yeah. I want everything else.
I kind of had a period with that a little bit over the past year or so.
Sex
now,
addiction?
Now I'm in a relationship, yeah.
Really? You were fucking everybody? Yeah, but you're a young boy. How old are you?
I'm 29.
And what happened? You just got into comedy and realized every comic would fuck you?
It was more like audience members, but yeah.
That's all of you do that. Uncover your face, though, I think.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Heard. But like there was a period in November where I was sleeping with 8 women at once.
Like different women?
Yeah. Like regularly seeing 8 women.
But did you like them all?
I liked some.
But you're an addict. I know because you've had like, you've given me like mainlined nicotine.
Yes, I am.
Do you drink?
No. That's what I stopped initially.
No weed?
No weed. Nothing. Just nicotine.
Me too.
Yeah.
No mushrooms?
Same.
But sex and love addiction.
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah.
Did you go hard into this relationship?
What do you mean?
Like, how long have you been together?
3.5 months.
Are you talking about moving in?
No. We're no.
Have you said I love you?
Yes.
That's fast.
You think?
Oh, yeah. Are you spending, like, every day together?
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty fast.
Okay.
I mean, I've had friends who aren't love addicts, dude, and it's not like that.
Okay.
It's like this. It's like I've been dating a guy for 3 months, and I'm like, how often do you see each other? And she's like, once a week we have a sleepover, and then maybe we'll go to dinner another night.
But what are you waiting for?
I think it's a dignity. I think they're maintaining a level of dignity and self-preservation, which is so important.
Right.
And I didn't know that.
But
yeah, I know.
You think it's undignified to see your girlfriend 5 times a week?
Yeah.
Why?
I'm just talking for me, like, because if I imagine...
And it's like after spots, I'm not missing anything. I would miss spots to like see girls.
Imagine
like
your highest self, your highest being would be like, I need to get a lot of sleep. I'm going to stay at my house. I feel like I'm avoiding it. I feel like I should do my dishes deal with stuff.
No, that's true.
I'm going to come over on Thursday. Like that is the highest form of self, is somebody who's like regimented and doles out, because it's all dopamine. And you can't just keep slamming the dopamine button or else it runs out of... It doesn't feel good.
And that definitely happened with
sex.
Yeah.
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 And anybody who overdoes anything is not the highest self. Even people who overdo joy.
Right.
Like even people who are like, I go jet skiing 4 days a week. I'm like, that's a crazy amount to jet ski.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I do it. I overdo literally everything. But I am realizing that like my friends who are able to be like, you know, like I have one friend who was like, I'm only seeing this guy once a week. And then he kind of was like, I don't know if I want a relationship. And she pushed herself to just be like, I do. Let me know when you do. And then a week later, he came around and now they're together.
Well, that's kind of what happened with Olivia.
What happened?
When we were first meeting up, I was like, I don't want a relationship.
Why?
Because I like wanted to fuck a million people. I don't know.
Why?
Because I didn't want to think about my life. Like my sponsor, my AA sponsor was like, you're not sober. He was like, you don't get to like progress through the steps.
That's a really good sponsor.
Anymore. Yeah.
That's a really good sponsor.
Yeah. He was strict. He was cool. He actually moved like a month ago.
That's okay.
Yeah.
None of my sponsors have lived here.
Really?
Yeah.
Where do they live?
Just around.
And you different talk states. To them on the phone?
Yeah.
Okay. well, he said I should get a new one.
Yeah, that's because you're used to in person.
Yeah.
So are you going to get a new one?
Yeah. I'm looking for one right now. I think I found one, but I'm not sure.
It's hard.
It's hard.
You go to meetings every day?
No, no.
Once a
week.
I don't go to meetings.
Well, the sponsor work is kind of the most important part.
Yeah.
I didn't like the meetings that much, but the steps are what?
Totally.
That's where the growth happens.
Yeah, I'm not sober right now. I slid off the sober. I mean, I'm sober from substances, but in love addiction stuff, I've slid off. My whole love addiction thing is if I'm trying to maintain a level of security with somebody and hurting myself in doing so.
Say that again.
If I'm trying, my addiction is it doesn't matter how much I hurt myself so long as this person says you're safe. It's a constant need for validation that I'm safe. That's my addiction. It's constant control.
Okay.
And I slid off recently and tried to assert control. And of course, that leads to just being totally out of control.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm in this mode of being I'm not sober. Because my every being is pushing itself towards getting a hit, which is being say everything's fine, tell me it's good, we're okay, and that's not me. That's my addiction.
Is it with that guy?
The same guy. Yeah.
Same guy.
Yeah. And it doesn't. I mean, it's all the things that therapy and all of that does it, but it is the same as having a beer.
Yeah.
It's once I have a beer, it's I can have a glass of wine. That's where I'm at. I'm in that where I'm I got super sick. I was totally out of control. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get my health back together. And I slid into this period of severe self-loathing and just was is everything good? And became that addict. And now I'm I don't. Now I'm lost in the sauce.
Is that what the OCD is about too? You're you have to do this is here, this is here.
Yeah.
I don't know what your things are, but I had a friend who had OCD and it was I'm actually trying to comfort myself all the time.
All the time.
It's I know how to do it and it's insane.
Yeah.
But it's it gives you an ASMR feeling when everything feels right.
Yeah. That's all it is. It's a crippling fear that you're trying to make okay.
And that's what you're doing with the guy.
Yeah. I just actually talked about that in therapy yesterday where I was I have two therapists. Cool. One that's
I do too.
Yeah. One that's say your needs, set your boundaries, blah, blah, blah. And then the other therapist that's control, discipline. Mm-hmm. You can't let yourself get out of control, right?
Right.
The one that says set your boundaries, I'm like, buddy, I love you, but my boundary is that the stove needs to be unplugged. I need to walk back in 150 times. I need to hear I love you 19 times a day. Mm-hmm. My boundary needs to be here. I need to be Jordan, you actually don't get to do those things. Mm-hmm. And the zeitgeist now is very much other people need to respect you. And I'm I don't respect me.
Yeah, right.
I let myself run rampant.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to get a grip on that. And it's really hard. I mean, it's really hard. And I don't think people talk about this, but I talk about it a lot in my hour, but it's that whole feeling of women being empowered and being you deserve the best possible thing. Men don't do the work and we do the work and you get this thing is really tricky because it's you also have to be a person who doesn't try and manipulate and change people.
Totally.
And it does feel like the zeitgeist very much now is I need this thing from you instead of I need these things for me. And if you get in the way of these things that support me, we can't be together.
What would be an example of that?
What's an example of that? Okay, I have friends who are if we don't, I need an active sex life. That's what I need. So if we don't have sex multiple times a week, we can't. We can't be together. So then they go to them and they're like, we need to have sex multiple times a week. That doesn't work.
Right. Yeah.
You totally. Can't do that. Yes. You can't be like, I need you to, tell me that we're going to be together for the next 11 years or whatever. Mm-hmm. You can't.
Yeah.
You can't do that. You have to say, right. Hey, if we're not having sex every 2 weeks or every two, whatever, I actually can't be in a relationship that's like that. You know what I mean? That's what you can do and then actually leave.
Right. Not make them do something.
Yeah.
I had a friend of a friend, she was always like, I don't date anyone under 6'4". I have to work in finance. She had all these things that were
like that
requirements, like that song.
Like that song.
And she was miserable in every relationship because she didn't actually want those things.
Well, that's a retarded person. Yeah. Why would you ever want, no offense, but tall guys, it's scary.
Why?
Because you're fine. That's why I like you, is because you're tall. And I immediately go, no. But you have the tall homeschool kid thing. You know, I know you're not homeschooled, but you have like the home. I know another guy who's like that, where it's like you're almost so tall that you're a freak. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Where it looks weird.
And you're a weirdo. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Yeah. You wear weird things. You know what I mean? You do weird things. So your tallness is almost like a friendly. It's like Luke Moniz. It's like a very friendly tree.
Right.
But tall dudes who know they're tall and like it and it's and they're fit and they fucking do finance and stuff, that's the scariest.
Right. That's
horrifying.
Like a psychopath.
That's a psychopath. If you're short and in finance, maybe you're okay. Right. You might actually be scarier. Actually, sometimes short guys get a little evil.
They're angry. Shorties.
They're angry shorties. I know, but they're funny.
Yeah.
They're always so funny. They're always the funny guy. But yeah, that's crazy. Also, wanting to date somebody in finance is psychotic.
But like, she's alienated from what she actually wants because she has these hard boundaries on who she thinks she deserves or something like that. You know what I mean? She made these rules, but they don't actually help her because she's not looking at a person. She's looking at like a person's.
Is she hot traits. Or something?
She was hot. Yes, she was.
She's
very
dead.
Hot. No, she is hot. I just don't know her anymore. Oh, she was like a friend of an ex-friend.
Yeah, hot people can make these, can want these things. Mm-hmm. I mean, I look at my hot friends swiping and who they say no to, and I'm like, why? This is a perfectly fine human being. But they're like, no, it doesn't have the. Mm-hmm. I think it's weird when people have like, when people are like, I won't date, when it's a white person who's like, I won't date white guys. Like, that's bizarre.
That's not true, too. Of course they would date white men. Like if you fell in love with someone, of course you would.
Yeah. But some of them really like just swipe no on white dudes. And I'm like, you're white. That's self-loathing.
Because of their vibe or?
I have no idea. Because
they're red, white fragility?
Or? Yeah, I don't know. I think it's more like they're attracted to the dominance of some of a, not a white guy.
Right. And that's racist, of course.
And that's racist. Yes.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it is. It's really. There's every other day I have this like throw my hands up thing and just I'm like just be alone and all of this will go away. Mm-hmm. And that is hard to not do for sure. But I also have to remember that, you know, this anorexic, sexually anorexic
right.
is real also.
Right. Ivy's like that too. She goes to slum meetings because she's sexually anorexic.
Can you say that?
What is it?
Are you allowed to say that?
She talks about it online a lot.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah.
She's sexually anorexic.
Yeah.
She seems like a very sexual little gremlin.
No, she like, that's kind of the thing with her. Like she thinks about it a lot, but she doesn't do it very much. And yeah, she's very open about it. She talks about it in her act and stuff.
She doesn't have sex?
Now she is, but she didn't for a long time. She's young too. Like that sort of shit you just. Get over it.
Sexually anorexic is a real thing, but it's mainly a real thing when you do step work and then you realize
right.
how happy you are because you're doing all the top line behaviors and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, why would I ever do that? And they're like, because you need human contact. I'm like, no, I don't. Mm-hmm. Like, you do.
I noticed the way I have sex changed too when I got out of
Were you scary?
Seeing a million women. Not even that, but it's just like I was just not there when I was having sex. Like I never.
Why did you do it? What were you? What if you like really had to look at the meaning of it? Is it escapism or is it dopamine or is it like proving? Like when I have sex, it's proving that I'm not ugly.
Yeah, I like feeling. Yeah, combating against sexual inadequacy.
Okay,
for sure.
Yeah,
because I was like a weird kid who was like way too tall and thin, and
you're still
stuttered and stuff.
Yeah, you're still that.
Thank you very much. Well, I'll have you know that I. Slept with a lot of women, so
that's fine.
So,
but isn't that funny that you're still a weird tall guy?
Yeah, but it, like something changed. Like maybe I got a. It's probably like stand up. I just started
in
meeting
high school.
Women.
You didn't fuck?
No.
Oh really?
No, I didn't fuck in high school.
Even though you're tall, I thought you all were just getting slobbed all over your.
No, because I was shy and weird and like drinking and smoking and doing. Pills all the time and stuff. I was like very
okay. So it sounds shy. Like getting sober is the thing that allowed you to fuck.
That's probably true. But also it took away the other addiction I had.
What do you mean?
Like, I didn't have to. I had my escapism because I could, like, black out alone all the time.
Right. You coped.
Yeah.
You literally figured out a way to get your hits by being like, okay, now I can't drink. I have to be. Maybe you don't even like stand-up, but you just needed to fuck that your body just adapted like an animal.
It's crazy how much it works, too.
It's disgusting.
It's disgusting how you can headline like a don't tell in a nowhere city and people like think that you're famous.
You know, they don't feel that way about women. It's just men. Right. It's when you're on, dude, it's so fucking annoying. Because you know what the reality is? What? A man on stage is attractive.
Yeah.
It just is. And a woman on stage, you are preparing for them to do a town hall meeting where they're upset about the cat litter or whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or they're like, the birds are getting killed by the cats. They need to be kept inside. That's what you prepare yourself for whenever a woman is on stage.
A mass nagging.
A mass nagging. Yeah. There's nothing. It's a mass nagging. It is a mass nagging. That's exactly what it is. Yeah. But when a guy gets on stage, you're like, he's a brave alpha.
He's a genius and the leader of the pack.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, totally.
Even if he's shy and he stutters.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. And it's very frustrating.
Yeah. Have you, after a show, ever? Have you ever been approached? I bet you get approached by women.
I get approached by women every fucking day of my life.
Yeah, that makes sense. Olivia gets the same thing.
Oh, for sure. I get approached in the DMs.
Sure. Yeah, that's also how I would mainly get approached.
Yes, but the idea of you guys clicking that and responding is so incredibly cringe to me. It makes me because it's so unacceptable. Yeah. It's literally fucking on training wheels. Mm-hmm. You're fucking a person with Down syndrome.
And the women often would be like, "Do you do this a lot?"
Yeah.
And they would hate if it was if I said yes. I wouldn't say yes most of the time, but what?
You have to say yes.
Well, I would say, "What are you asking me?" I would just like avoid the question and kind of imply yes.
Well, they think you're an underdog because you're a weirdo.
Yeah.
They don't know you're fucking all the time.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and women hate to hear that.
They hate to hear that.
Yeah. They hate to hear that you find other
no
women
woman
desirable.
Has sex to come. They have sex for a future relationship.
Yeah. No, I know.
And if they do, I'll Jordan Peterson it, they're mentally ill. If a woman goes out just to get laid, they need mental health.
If a woman enjoys sex, they are a man.
Exactly.
Generally.
If you enjoy sex with somebody you love, if you're having sex and you go, this feels good, totally fine. You're an animal.
Right.
Of course. But when a woman goes out just to be like, I'm going to fuck tonight, they are as mentally ill as men.
You were raped?
Are mentally ill.
You were a man?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think it's disgusting when people fuck chuckle fucks because the easiest thing to do. It's like, you know, it's why I don't fuck black dudes. It's too easy. It's too easy. Uh-huh. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But like, it's nice because they think you are famous. They don't really want to get to know you. They don't want to hear that you have a job or anything like that. And you can seem like a hero to somebody for like one night. And you don't have to be
yourself. That's not what's going on.
You don't have to be yourself.
They are magnetically attracted to what you're saying. They're attracted to what you're saying on stage. It resonates with them. You're being vulnerable.
You're getting into them.
You're getting
your words.
Into them. You're making them laugh and you're making them think that you're an intriguing person. It's literally like if you went on a date and somebody went, I'm going to give a monologue on who I am. And you did it and it was funny and charming and scripted.
Right.
And then you fuck them and it's whack. It's not whack. It's not immoral.
Right.
It's totally fine to do it. But to me, I'm like, it's not like you were signing an autograph and a girl saw you and was like, oh my God, a famous guy, I'll fuck him. It's like you actually opened up emotionally and they fell into a trap. And I do think that anytime somebody DMs you, you should assume and you fuck them, you should assume that you're fucking somebody who like you drugged.
You think it's manipulative?
I don't think it's manipulative because I think it's – is it manipulative?
You think it's worse?
I think it's weak.
Uh-huh.
I think it's like fucking a drunk girl.
Because you don't have to seduce them or anything.
Yes.
They're just...
You already seduce... Your job is to seduce and then you're going to fuck somebody who watched? That's crazy to me.
Uh-huh.
It's like a magician being like, I'm going to hypnotize everybody into thinking that I'm charming, attractive, self-analytical, and everybody's right. like, oh, he... And then you fuck somebody.
But what's a date then? Isn't it just you saying all of like your...
A date is you're saying to them, I'm willing to date you. You're saying I'm willing to go on a one-on-one date.
You take them on a date. You go to a bar. It's not like you walk off stage into their pussy or whatever.
You do.
No, you walk off stage and then you open your phone and then there's like a request that like probably references one of your jokes in some kind of like not super funny way. And then
yeah, yeah. They're like, I also am I have a vagina.
And you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah, really good. No it's always way. Something like that.
You want to do something?
And then you respond and you meet up. What do you say? Or what did you say?
It depends, but like, or they'll be like, you're cute, whatever. Be like, oh, okay, cool. Well, there's the late show, but if you're around later, you know, we should meet at some kind of a bar or whatever. And then
how do you feel since having a girlfriend with the DMs?
Fine. It's, well, just because the thing that we're doing is different than what I did there. And I feel more content. Like, it was crazy what I was doing. It was anxious and like, I felt like out of my mind. Like it was taking up every free thought in my mind of being like, this girl is here, so I can't go to a restaurant there with this girl. But
oh my God.
This girl's like, she said this thing about, right? She's the one with the dad who, you know what I mean? And then you had to like go there. And it's not like I would say that I wasn't sleeping with other women, but I wouldn't like, they would not like to know the extent of it.
Ever. Isn't it crazy that that's what Andrew Huberman did and now he's just like, people are so mad about it?
Yeah.
I don't get that. Why are you able to do it, but he can't do it?
Wasn't there a woman who's getting like IVF treatment to like have his kid while he was doing it?
Oh yeah, maybe.
That's not good.
He can't do any wrong.
Do you think a podcast is less immoral because you don't have to be charming on it? Like, do you think if you fuck off a podcast,
I don't think you should fuck off anything that has to do with entertainment. I think you should meet somebody and fuck them.
Right, and that's what I did with my lady. Also, I would never date anybody I met after a show.
Right. You just have sex with them.
Because you don't respect them.
But that's what you should say is, I will have sex with you, but I'm never going to date you.
Yeah.
But you don't say that.
No.
But with the girl that you met, you're equals. That's why I only date comedians. Right. Like, I'm not going to date a fucking person that watches me do stand-up, thinks that, oh, this person is... It's crazy.
I would never get into a relationship with one of those people. I agree that that's sus.
It is sus.
Yeah. And a lot of times they're like way younger, like 30-year-old women aren't.
When
doing
a
that.
Comic meets somebody online,
uh-huh.
and then the person sees their show and goes, "That was great," that's fine.
Uh-huh.
That's fine.
What if they meet online because they saw a clip of them doing stand up?
That's weird.
You're doing the math.
It's very weird.
Uh huh.
I think it's weird. I also would never go on a date with somebody who likes my stand-up like that.
Yeah.
That would be so unattractive to me.
Yes, right. Well, because you think they're like, they're a beta. They're a fan.
If somebody sent me a video of RIP or of this and was like, I'm really, really am like interested in you, that would be better.
Okay.
Because I'm I am very much myself on stage. I am literally trying to get you to fall in love with me. That's all I'm trying to do.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like on this podcast, I'm literally talking. If somebody sent me a clip of me talking about OCD and being like, dude, literally just like the way that you're talking is attractive to me, I'd be like, that makes sense. That's literally something I would say to somebody on a date, is what I'm saying here. But I'm like, yeah, no shit, you want to go out with me. I've literally just got an entire group of people to laugh.
And like you're saying, you've collected all of your best thoughts over like 3 years.
10.
Yeah.
10 years.
And you're saying it in a row.
I'm saying it in a row. Yeah. And by the way, I've run the bad stuff. People don't laugh. Took it out.
Yeah.
And in a relationship with me, it's a lot of the bad stuff.
Yeah.
It's a lot of it.
It's an open mic.
It's an open mic. It really is. Sometimes it's not even an open mic. Sometimes I'm not even talking.
Do you run bits by the guy that you're seeing?
Oh, yeah.
How does it feel when you say a bad one?
I wanted to kill myself.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It feels awful.
I run bits by Jake.
Yeah.
Because Jake will be kind about it. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? If I write it by the person I'm dating, he's like, that was bad. And I'm like, okay. You know what I mean? Because we have that, because that's the dynamic that we have. But so I usually run it by somebody who's safe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think, yeah, if I said a not funny thing in front of Olivia, she would be nice about it.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if I said it's my friend, they would be like, that sucks and you're a hack. Yeah.
Yeah. Would you be nice if she ran something really unfunny?
Yeah, of course. How? I don't even know if I would say it was bad. Plus, you don't really know when you're talking with someone if it's actually good or not. I don't, at least.
Yeah, I don't either. Well, the thing that sucks is when you have like a baby that you love and you run it by somebody and they're like nothing. And you're like, God damn it.
Yeah.
How long? You guys been dating 3 months.
Yeah, we met in March. Dating since Mother's Day.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then, and you put it off and you put it off?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And then how did you wear down?
How did she wear me down?
Yeah. I mean, she didn't wear you down. I know.
Well, like, you know, I don't know. I just felt like we connected more than other people. Also, like,
but did you take a pause?
She's a comic and she's really funny. And like, I always respect people like that. So it's like hard to discount that person.
She's also so hot and 6 feet tall.
She's also really hot.
She's so hot.
And she was really into me also, which helps.
That does help.
Yeah.
So then did you take a period where you were like, nah, on this for a minute?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, yeah, I was. You're saying like a period where I was like,
we can't see each other.
No, but I was be like distant and like not respond to messages.
Did she set
for
a boundary
at
any point?
Yeah.
And she was like,
there was a time where like, I don't know if we can, I can should say all of our business, but there was a time where I was kind of like very clearly hitting her up to like fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was like, we're not doing that.
Good.
Yeah.
She'll be fine with that being in here. That's very strong. And
yes.
Good. And then was there a period of not seeing each other?
Then but we would see each other like once a week in the beginning.
No, I know. But when she was like, we're not doing that.
Uh-huh.
Like, did you have a week where you thought about it and you're like, I'm not interested in a relationship. And then you're like, actually.
Yeah. I mean, I said to her in the beginning, like, I do not want to be in a relationship and I'm not looking for that.
But when did you turn? When were you like, I want to be?
There was like this one time where we hung out and we were like laughing. I don't know. I just like fell in love with her.
Yeah.
Whatever. You know what
and
I mean?
And over one. It was like one date.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas like clearly we connect and I want to do this. I think it'll be good for me.
Yeah.
And then I started like, I have a lot of guilt and I started like being honest with her and like confessing stuff. Cause I felt bad. Like not.
That you're a whore?
Telling her stuff. Yeah. Like along those lines.
You felt bad not telling her that you fucked all these people?
Yeah.
How'd she take that?
She didn't.
Not fun.
Like
not
it very
good.
Much. Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, I shouldn't like.
You
it
should
much.
Feel guilt about unloading shit for your own
yeah.
sanity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like if you cheat on somebody, break up with them. Don't tell them you cheated.
Yeah.
Just
totally.
End them.
Totally. Totally.
They don't
totally.
Need to know. Get the image in your head.
Yeah.
In their head of. You
I didn't say like names or anything, but I would be like, you know, actually that time there was this that happened, and yeah.
Oh, like when we were date yeah. when we were seeing each other, I did fuck.
Yeah,
why?
Because I was like, because I felt bad.
She should have tased you.
Yeah.
Because you felt like, I don't want to have one over on somebody. This happened recently to me.
Yeah, whereas like, I feel dishonest when we talk because like, I don't want to lie to her like one
bro,
of these
you guys in the dishonesty.
Gutter sluts.
Let me say this into
that
the camera.
I used to be with.
You motherfuckers and the I don't want to be dishonest with this person uh-huh. is dishonest. You are getting obsessive about things that happen. I don't know if it's for maybe you had a thought where you're like, I kind of wanted to break up yesterday and you feel the need that you have to tell me that or us that. Or maybe it's I slept with somebody and you feel it's like I was in an open relationship once and this guy fucked a girl and then he told me about it. I'm like, don't ask, don't tell. I said that. You're unloading for yourself,
yeah.
not for us.
No, you're right. You're right.
And you better cut it out. That is so real though, where men do this thing where they're like, I'm being tortured by this thought. And uh-huh. if I don't get it, if I don't say it, and you mask it as it's guilt.
I do that a lot in stand-up too. If I'm really like guilty about something, then I have a bit about it usually.
Yeah, same.
If it's like weighing on me, I'm
same.
Like, just so everyone knows, and it's like no one cares. Like, why
dude,
would,
I'll
why
get
would
on stage
care
and
about that?
Just immediately confess everything.
Yeah.
It's so fucked up.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, I'm doing new jokes. These are new, okay? And they're like, we don't need to know that. And I'm like, okay, but I just recorded a special. So like, I'm really insecure. I said that yeah, last night. Mm-hmm. Somebody applauded.
Coffee?
Yeah, you want one?
You do? No, I don't like those.
Coffees are good.
No, they like fuck up my throat.
What do you have?
Peppermint.
Oh, coffee fucks up your throat.
Yeah.
Okay, but Zins are fine.
Yeah.
Maybe it fucks up my throat.
Okay.
Who knows? How'd that happen?
I always do Celsius's.
Huh?
I always drink Celsius instead of coffee.
What?
No. Because it fucks up.
Oh, coffee actually fucks up your throat.
Because it fucks up my
Celsius
stomach.
Celsius gave me a panic attack worse than any I've ever had.
I drink 5 a day.
Okay, something's going on. Yeah. Something's happening that's not good.
Yeah. I need energy. I'm low energy all the time. And I'm.
But that's.
I wake up in physical pain from depression sometimes.
Okay, no, but hear me out. Hear me out. Recently, I was sick for a month. I was so depressed. Mm-hmm. I was itchy all over my body. Everything was fucked up.
Why?
Because of what I was eating.
Okay.
And then I stopped and I was so sleepy on stage. I was so tired and I thought I was depressed. And then I changed my entire diet and I ended up like screaming on stage. I had so much energy.
Uh-huh.
What are you eating?
Yeah, I eat bad.
Do you eat candy?
No, I don't eat candy. I eat like Southern Italian food. I eat like pasta and pizza and like sandwiches.
You have any itchy stuff?
No. Why?
And you sleep bad?
I sleep bad, yeah. I have sleep apnea.
You have sleep apnea? Yeah, Your nose is so normal.
I have a CPAP machine. Are you looking at my stomach?
No, I was dissociating, thinking about how fucked up it is that this girl had to fight for your affection when you have a sleep apnea machine.
I know. I've never worn it around her.
You could wear it.
Yeah. I mean, now we're there.
Just go like this. I was born in the darkness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brendan Sagalow. Great joke. and so you're not getting enough sleep. So that could be why you're.
Mm-hmm.
Do you try and sleep for like 10 hours at a time?
No.
You just try. You shoot for 6?
Yeah.
You got to shoot for 10 if you can't get a good amount of sleep.
But even when I sleep 10, I'm still tired because I'm choking on my tongue like 13 times an hour.
What do you mean?
That's what sleep apnea is. I'm choking in my sleep and not enough.
What about when you use the machine?
Yeah, when I use the machine, I'm good.
And you don't need Celsius?
No, I drink a lot of Celsius though. Like I used the machine last night.
You got to get natural energy. It's the pizza stuff.
Yeah.
That's
when I stopped drinking, I was so healthy. I was like, I was like riding my bike like 150 miles a week. I was eating only like chicken breast.
You look like a vegan
and stuff. Yeah, I don't know. It's just how my family is. But I was, the time when I was healthiest in my life was right after I stopped drinking because I got fatty liver from drinking when I was like 26.
Sometimes diagnoses just sound like roasts. I mean, that's crazy to call it fatty liver.
It's called fatty liver. And it's just, there's fat in your liver.
From?
Drinking.
Drinking.
Because it doesn't filter it right or something.
Okay, well, that means you're probably a little bit predisposed to like gluten and yeast and stuff. You know what I mean? Because if your body's metabolizing it poorly. Like I had type 2 diabetes and I'm pretty sure I just can't eat sugar.
Right. And because the sickness you had?
Yeah. It was like.
It made you itchy.
It was making me itchy. It was like. Sucks. Yeah. It sucked. And then I stopped eating sugar and it like killed it. And like my friend had the same thing. Narcolepsy. She stopped eating sugar and it killed the whatever the bacteria was, and she was able to like stay awake longer. I mean, she still has it, but it's not as bad.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you gotta.
Yeah.
But you're 29. When I was 29, I was doing the same shit.
Right.
Yeah. It's once you get in your 30s, it becomes so uncomfortable. Like you get so sick of being sleepy.
Yeah, like lethargic and
it's
awful.
It's brutal. Yeah. And you'll do anything to have like any energy. But at your age, I think I was doing like huge amounts of Molly and Coke every day.
Awesome.
To wake up. Because I was just so sleepy.
Well, yeah, I wake up, I drink a Celsius, and I pops in.
Yeah. Me and Jake have a theory that the Zin is what's killing us.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
It's probably really bad for you.
It's probably so bad.
I'm worried about my teeth. Because your gums recede if you do it enough.
Do they recede?
Yeah.
Because I do it enough.
I do it a lot. How many do you do a day?
10.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Yeah, my most was probably 1.5, but like doing one a day is good for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it going to recede our gums? Or are we going to be weird old people?
Yeah, probably. And it might fuck up your throat too.
I think it does fuck up my throat.
Yeah, I definitely have like hoarseness that wasn't there before.
I know. How are we going to get off it?
I don't know.
I would go to a hypnotist.
Yeah, I would do that too.
Maybe we should do that. Maybe we should have
a
pod.
I would love to do that.
That's the thing. If I could quit nicotine, I would be so good.
I tried once when I had COVID. When I did the Iraq War thing, I had COVID and I was like, I'm finally going to stop doing nicotine. And I had patches.
Did they work?
No. I felt out of my fucking mind.
Really? For angry?
6 days. Yeah. I was with my ex. I was like staying in her house. And I was like irritable and yelling and I couldn't sleep and I was sweaty and
wow. Yeah. But you're a straight nicotine. I mean, you were constantly doing it. You had that that
snuff.
Snuff.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
I tried to order more snuff. I couldn't get it.
Really? Yeah. Where'd you get it before?
My brother got it for me in London. And then I tried to order it from London, but like you can't because it's like illegal or something.
What does a hypnotist do? I'll do it.
I don't know what a hypnotist does.
But the thing is like it comes up. If you watch your thought before you put a Zen in, it's always an anxious thought. Yes. It always is something where you're like, I have to do this thing. And then it goes in.
I noticed that with like biting my nails. I noticed that with jacking off. Like every anxious thing I do. Yeah.
I know, but there has to be some reward for having the anxious thought and not doing it. Like there has to be something. Like sometimes I'll do a thing where I only listen to music when I work out.
Cool.
That's Tom Takar's move.
Okay.
Where he would only let himself. And that helps because then the music is on and I'm like, reward. But there has to be something for the addiction. There has to be you get this thing. Like when you don't eat, you get skinny. There's like a direct reward.
Right.
But with nicotine, I'm just pissed off.
But like what do I like to do that's not some kind of anxious? I like the piano. I moved into an apartment with a piano in it.
Oh, maybe you only do the piano.
Maybe I only do the piano when I'm...
No nicotine's in your mouth.
Not doing nicotine.
It's not That's good.
Idea. Yeah.
Because I think it's Pavlovian. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think we really have to train ourselves. Like if a little bunny rabbit walked up to me every time I resisted, I think I would stop, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, maybe it could be like... You know what I started doing?
You
have a
dog. You like your dog. Maybe something with that.
I know. I've been thinking about my dog, but she's around me all the time. And she's perfect angel.
Sure. Fair enough.
She's the best dog in the world. Dude, we went swimming. She swims so deep out there, and she's a tiny dog.
Where?
Out in the dog beach.
Okay.
She swims so deep. And I taught her, and I trained her, and I held her like this, and she flapped, and now she fucking is a water dog, and it's so
nice. Maybe you can only do that when you don't have nicotine in your mouth.
Well, sometimes I leave the nicotine and the phone at home, and that, and then we can do the swim.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
I wouldn't be able to enjoy it, though. I'd be like...
Well, I just cut it short, which I don't like doing.
Do you think the hypnotism could help with my stutter?
Totally.
Yeah?
I don't know because it sounds like you're missing a Lego piece. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's like a thing that's not
there. There's like a thing that isn't there, which I imagine is the same as like if one of your eyes could, like one of my moms can't see 3D because one of her eyes is fucked.
What?
She just can't, like it doesn't do the thing.
How does she live her life?
No. She can't watch 3D movies. Sorry.
Oh,
like it just doesn't work. Okay. You know what I mean?
I thought everything was like Mario.
I imagine
Mario
it's something like that where they just aren't talking.
Uh huh. Or if someone was missing an eye, like you couldn't get hypnotized to see out of that eye.
Right.
Yeah.
But I will say, COVID fucked up my synapses, and now I can smell chemicals in things.
What do you mean?
Like if you have a deodorant and you're like, "This is a natural deodorant," I can smell it and be like, "No, it's not."
Whoa.
You know what I mean? Like if I can smell chemicals, it's awful.
The COVID shit is so scary.
Yeah.
I feel so stupid after I had COVID.
Yeah, it fucked us.
Yeah.
It fucked us.
Like, it's harder for me to write jokes. It's harder for me to remember shit. I feel like I have like Alzheimer's. But it could be the phone. It could be a million different things. It could be the food, like you said.
Well, that whole study came out about ChatGPT that was like people are retaining memories incorrectly when they read off of it. Like, it's not holding in their head. And I'm like, I think that that's phone.
Yeah,
I get that it's ChatGPT. I get that you've correlated it, but I think that's reading anything on the phone, taking in any information. Mm-hmm. And imagine you're taking in information all day and none of it sticks. That just leaves you a dumber person.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like before, if we had to like search Google, find the article, open it up, the JSTOR account, you know, read the thing. And now it's like Google it. It comes up, AI tells it to you and you go, okay, like all we're doing is taking in information that's forgettable, which is... literally how somebody gets stupid. You know what I mean?
Reading on the phone, it feels like reading with like music playing or something. It's just there's always distractions on the phone. There's like texts and calls and, you know, it's like a Japanese game show.
I'm trying to do this joke right now where I'm like, do you ever get your ADHD so bad that you fully go deaf? Where you're like watching TV, it's blasting, the fucking font is up, the picture's on, and you're like retaining zero information. And it's nothing. And you're like, I have ears. These take in information. and I can't hear a goddamn thing.
You know what freaks me out? You ever been listening to music and you're like, I wish I were listening to music right
oh
now.
Oh my God, yes.
That happens to me all the time.
Oh my God,
that
is
so scary.
Dude, that is such a real one.
Yeah.
I know. I will be, that's how I am with movies. Like, I'll be like, I can't hear it. That's why I can't pay attention. I'll be like, oh my God, it's max volume or some shit. You know what I mean? Or like, I wish there were subtitles and it's already on. That's like, crazy.
There's just nothing going in. And you don't even know nothing's going in.
What is that?
I don't know. It's like, yeah, when music's playing and you don't realize you're listening to music, it's because you just want the hit. You want the dopamine. You want the thing it gives you. It's not about the music. Yeah.
I know. It's like when music's playing and it shuts off and you're like, was something playing?
Yes.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the solution is. I mean, I think the solution is no phones. I think the solution is... It's so funny when I read a whole book cover to cover. Like, I could tell you everything that happens in Killers of the Flower Moon or like, and you know what I mean? Like, I could tell you all of that data, but like, I've researched so much on the phone and know nothing.
Nothing is retained. Yeah.
Nothing is retained. It's crazy.
I was trying to read on the way here. I was trying to read about the Trump bill that just passed.
Yeah.
Nothing was going in.
But what were you thinking about instead?
What was I thinking about instead? I mean, this.
Right.
Yeah. This podcast.
Yeah. That's what I do is I'll be playing out another thing. Usually what I try to do when that happens is I go, okay, this is dominating. Mm-hmm. Let's get to the bottom of it. And then we can do this thing. But I mean, that's why I think ADHD is overdiagnosed. I do think ADHD is like when you're at your office and you can't pay attention. It's because you should be paying attention to something else.
Right.
The thing that like really helped me, I realized, was painting.
Cool.
Something I was talking to the therapist about it and he was like, that makes sense because it uses the other side of your brain. But that shit, I became so hyper-focused and like hours passed.
Yes.
It was the best.
I'm like that with the piano.
It's so good.
Yeah. It's like, I was just saying to somebody, it feels like it's like the horse they give you in rehab. That's how the piano feels. Like,
it feels so
like
it gives me
light in my life.
Yeah. It's so nice.
Yeah.
Okay. We have to wrap it up.
Wow. Was that an hour?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Fast, cool. Right?
Yeah.
Oh my God, my phone is telling me to play a game on my phone. That's crazy. Okay, do your plugs. Look into camera one, I think.
Camera one.
Yeah.
All right. Come to Struggle Bus. It's my show. Jordan did it once. It's a fun show. It's at TVI July 14th. It's a contest to see which comic had the worst life. And then,
how did I not win?
Because the other guy was like raped. Three of his siblings died.
He was raped?
He was raped. He said he's a model and he got like diddied. That's what he said.
Really?
Yeah. And three of his siblings died. One of them was developmentally disabled and her aide killed her.
What?
Yes. You didn't hear that?
No, I had to leave. Remember, I had to bounce right after?
Yeah. And also, you weren't there. So we can't have you win that.
Oh.
Yeah.
And... that's fucked up. That's crazy.
It was really fucked up. There was more too. I think he was like in the military. He grew up in like Detroit before it was gentrified. He had a really fucked up life.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's not funniest.
It's not funniest.
It's not funniest set, which I think sometimes
people forget.
People get confused about.
Yeah. It's not funniest. And people vote like that is the worst life. Yeah. Did he have jokes on it? Or was he
like
evident number one?
Yeah. It was more like kind of.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's fucked up.
Yeah.
Have you had any tragedies?
I've had a couple. I had an alcoholic mom.
Is she dead?
No, she's alive. We're in therapy together.
Is she sober?
She's sober, yeah.
You're doing therapy with your mom?
Yeah, I'm in couples therapy with my mom. That's one of my therapists.
Did you fight?
What do you mean?
When she was drinking and that's why you need therapy?
No. She was like depressed and I was like kind of scared of her.
Yeah.
And then
of course.
We were like distant for a long time, but we didn't really fight.
And what's going on in therapy? How does that help? I mean, what is it? What are you trying to get to a good place?
Yeah. Cause my brother just had a kid. So now there's like a grandchild in the mix and we were just all kind of distant and we're trying to like kind of be a family and not have resentments and stuff.
For the kid.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
So I'm not like, you weren't there for me, you know, not having those kind of talks with a grandchild around.
In therapy, are you like trying to get apologies out of your mom?
Yes.
Okay. And is she giving them?
Yeah, she is. She feels bad. She's been in the program for like 10 years now. So.
Did she make amends to you in the program?
Yeah, she made amends to me.
Oh, that's good. But it wasn't sufficient.
No.
It never is, is it?
Because she was blacked out for a lot of the bad stuff. And when she made amends, I was still drinking. So I didn't want to like get too deep because she kind of knew that I was drinking. And like, I just didn't want to get to a place where she would confront me about it or something.
Oh, she was sober while you were drinking.
Yeah.
And was she, oh, so you were distant even though she was sober.
Yes.
Because then you were getting fucked up.
Exactly.
And now you're sober and you're like, I want to have a relationship.
Yeah. And the way that I started reconciling with her was, I was like, I apologized. Because I was only thinking about the fact that I had an alcoholic mom.
Yeah.
And I wasn't thinking about the fact that she had an alcoholic son. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
And I fucked her over and was a narcissist and like did a lot of like scary shit to her.
Like what?
And I wasn't thinking about it. Like I would come home. I would used to like punch brick walls till my hands bled. And I would like come home with like bandaged bloody hands.
Yeah.
And then be like, I don't want to talk about it. Like, that's scary
yeah.
for a mom to see.
And you made amends?
Yeah, I made amends.
And I know there is a part of me that gets a little rustled up because I am like, well, she's a mom. She should have said, what's going on with the bandaged hands? Mm-hmm. And are you okay? Because you're my son.
Yeah. And like, well, I like left. There was this one day where I like left my phone at my friend's house and my hands were all bloody. And she drove me to my friend's house. And like, we were passing like street signs that had like blood on them and shit. It was really rough.
That you hit?
Yeah.
And did she say, did you do that?
Yeah. I mean, my hands were covered in blood. There was blood on the signs.
Did she say, why are you punching?
I was like, no, I didn't want to talk about it. I was just like a brick wall.
Yeah.
I didn't want to talk about it. I was like, I don't want to get deep about this. I don't want to help.
Why were you punching?
Because I was mad at fucking the world. I don't know.
Yeah.
I was just like, I think a lot of reasons. I just like felt like an outcast in my high school. I'm from a rich town and like we weren't poor, but we weren't super rich. And like my parents were divorced. No one else's parents were divorced. And like.
But you're hanging out with friends, right? When you're getting fucked up.
Yeah.
And then on your way home,
you're on my way home, I would drink more and then hit brick walls. Yeah.
Just to be like, I hate everything.
Yeah. And anytime.
You were really on your way to be school shooter vibes.
Yes.
Lucky you found stand up, eh?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When did you start stand up?
Like 5 years ago.
Sober then stand up or stand up then sober?
Stand up then sober.
So stand up really helped.
Yeah. And also I was like open mic, got sober, then like started getting it. Not that I'm anywhere, but.
Did you make a lot of your friends doing stand up?
Yeah. After I got sober, I had no friends when I was drinking and doing stand up.
Did you have friends that remained from previous?
Yeah.
So you had some friends?
Yes.
But at school?
Yeah. I was in a band. With other people who now either are sober or have substance abuse issues.
You were in a...
In high school, I was in a band.
But you still weren't cool?
No.
You still weren't cool? Did people bully you?
No.
You just like weren't...
We were just like this incestuous...
Was it that you weren't fucking?
Yeah. It was that I wasn't fucking.
Really?
Yeah. That's what it was.
Honestly?
Yeah. That's why I would like hit walls.
Okay, cool.
At that time in particular, there was like a girl I was into who like went...
I knew it.
Went with another... guy and I was really mad and so I didn't get mad at
that's
her.
That's why I punch walls.
Yeah.
Punched walls.
And it's and it's erotic too. It's like this repetitive like
it's erotic for sure and it just is you have no control. You have mm-hmm. no control over anything and it's the hardest place to be a victim. If somebody dies, I don't punch walls. I sob and I'm the
totally,
victim.
Totally,
if somebody hurts me, if somebody chooses somebody else, I'm like, that's your fault. You deserve to be hurt.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. But
and like, yeah, have you heard that thing, all rage is impotent?
Oh my God, no, what is that?
Just like when you're experiencing rage like that, it's because there's a wall and you want to punch the wall. Do you know what I mean? Like
you can't get through.
You can't do the thing. And
yeah.
So you just freak out because you feel trapped or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All rage is impotent.
Yeah.
Name of the episode. Okay. Thank you.
Oh,
let's cut. What? Oh, plug.
See Mike Racine at the La Brea Improv.
La Brea Improv.
Late July and the Irvine Improv. And I think we're doing one other thing. So check out MikeRacine.com. Oh, also, I'm doing a club in Boston first week of September. I'm doing a show in Portland August 7th. I think that's it.
Hell yeah. Go see him. Follow him. Nick V. August. Okay, thanks. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.